The solemn faces of men and women pass by slowly. Sean Bean, Stephen Graham, Accused by Jimmy McGovern. Written by Sean Duggan and Jimmy McGovern. Simon Gaskell, a smartly dressed, ruggedly handsome man of about 50, stands looking pensive as he waits in a court holding cell. The cell door opens, and Simon turns towards it. Now handcuffed to a uniformed guard, he's led along a corridor. Another guard at the far end opens a barred gate, allowing them to pass. A flashback.
Victoria Street, please, doll.
Simon gets into a black cab.
No problem, mate. You've got your leather. Stevie Wonder.
Sitting in the back of the cab as it drives off, Simon is in the guise of Tracy, his altered ego. Wearing women's clothes, makeup, and a long blonde wig, he stares out of the window. The cab's traveling along city streets at nighttime, passing a kissing couple and a group of girls out on a hen night. The cab stops, and Tracy gets out.
How much?
7.20.
Ta, love. Keep the change.
Thanks.
Yeah, all right.
And, good luck.
You'll need it looking like that.
Payments in kind. Payments in kind.
Keep your wig on, mate.
No chance, you sweaty little bastard.
All right, all right.
No chance whatsoever. Right? No chance whatsoever. Bloody ever. I wouldn't go near you.
Stop it, people watching.
You little slime ball. He's got a picture of his kids on the dashboard. He's talking about
what he can't.
You forget about payments in kind, love.
All right, boys. All right, boys.
Tracy enters a modern bar.
Hello.
Jesus.
Tracy, actually. And I'd like a multiple orgasm.
On the rocks?
Wherever, darling.
I mean it.
The groom is doomed! The groom is doomed! The groom! Cheers!
Cheers, lads.
Cheers, cheers, cheers!
It's the end of your life.
Oh, cheers to the end. Yeah, the end is the beginning. The beginning is the end. To the doom groom! Come on, one for the bride, two for the groom. That's down in one.
Cheers.
One,
cheers.
Two, three, go!
Sitting at the bar, Tracy takes her mobile from her handbag and makes a call.
Hello, could I have a cab to Victoria Street, please?
Hey.
Romero's bar, look.
Hey.
How long?
Excuse me.
What? What do you want?
How did he die?
What?
How did he die?
Who?
Mr. Swanky.
He bled to death, sweetheart. After I cut his balls off. Remarco, Tracy. Didn't get one any sooner, love.
Why all this? Why, you're not fooling no one, you know what I mean?
I'm not bothering no one either.
You're bothering me?
If I'm bothering you, why don't you fuck off and leave me alone?
Tell you what.
What?
It's more than bothering me, as a matter of fact. It's sickening. The last thing that I want, right?
Alan, leave it, lad.
Is some hairy ass nonce putting me off my ale.
Time you went.
Time I left.
Get going now.
No, look, love, I'm waiting for a taxi. I've just booked and they're coming on the road on the way.
Wait outside.
Get in the arse.
Sad! That's what it should be! Not gay! Sad!
Oi! You can drink up too.
What do you mean?
Finish your drinks and leave.
You're a prick, you. Nice one.
You're long story, but I'm outside now. Hey. Lone female feeling vulnerable.
Listen, what is it with you, love? What's your problem? I mean...
Hello? Yep. Thanks a lot, thank you. Listen, this is just a stab in the dark, lovey. But I think I've upset you a little bit, haven't I?
Oh, yeah.
Shall I tell you why? I've upset you, but not them.
Yeah, go on, yeah.
It's because they're confident about the sexuality, darling. They don't have to kick off to prove they're men.
Oh, hang on.
Are you saying I'm a queer?
I'm just saying you're a little bit confused, my sweet. But don't you worry about that, because lots of men are. And to tell you the truth, I think it's rather cute.
Tracy blows him a kiss.
Hey.
Don't stand around, you know.
You're a sick bastard. Leave it. You're a sick, perverted bastard, you know that?
Yeah.
Why should I move?
I'll kill you,
you bastard.
Why should I move? I'm waiting for a taxi.
Go way down the road. Go for my fucking taxi. Go way down the road. Don't wait for me. Go way down the road.
Hey, fuck off. You're a sick bastard. You're not, because you're a man. And I will treat you like a man.
Tracy put some distance between herself and the men. Two lads in a car shouted her as they drive past. A taxi pulls up nearby.
Where are you going?
Canning Street, why?
Something, I'll give you a lift. Tony.
He opens the door for her.
Thank you, Tony.
Tony was one of the men drinking with the aggressive man who was hassling Tracy.
Sorry about Alan. He's a prick when he's pissed.
And what's his excuse the rest of the time? Good friend of yours, is he?
He's my brother.
Oof, you have my sympathy.
Do you get that a lot, do you? Aggro.
Unfortunately.
So why do we?
Because it's who I am, darling.
Have you been doing it long?
Yeah.
What? Always like that?
What are you implying?
You know what I'm implying.
Well, I'll never pass as a woman if that's what you're implying, no. But I can pass as a man's fantasy of a woman. You know, like a tart and a whore. Anything.
What got you into it?
Have you never tottered around in your mother's stilettos?
Not once to turn 20, no.
Tracy smiles.
If you take the next left, please, my love. White van, man.
Yeah, aerials and satellite dishes.
Well, look, Tony, I've heard it all before.
What?
Supposedly straight men professing an academic interest in my lifestyle. But I think we both know why you wanted this, Tony.
Tony doesn't respond as the taxi comes to a halt.
So, you can either come in with me right now and satisfy your curiosity, or you can carry on home, spend the rest of your life regretting it. It's been nice being with you.
She gets out, leaving the cab door open. Tony watches as Tracy walks up a path that leads to one of a row of flats. As the cab drives off, she stops and turns to see Tony standing on the pavement.
Long time, Dad.
She grins. Now Simon's sitting in the dock. Alan, Tony's brother, is one of several people taking a seat in the public gallery. Alan glares at Simon.
All rise.
From the bewigged barristers standing in court to Tracy stirring in the morning light. Her hand stretches out across the bed she's lying on to the empty space beside her. She gets up and sits at a dressing table where she begins to remove her makeup.
I wandered lonely as a cloud that floats on high over vales and hills. And all at once I saw a crowd, a host of golden daffodils beside the lake, beneath the trees, fluttering and dancing in the breeze. You notice how fluttering destroys the rhythm of the poem. It's impossible to make the line scan if you pronounce fluttering as a trisyllabic word. And that's what Wordsworth intended, of course. Di-dum, 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 di-dum. And suddenly, that rhythm is shattered when he sees the fluttering and dancing daffodils and the chaos of nature.
Simon has been teaching some bored college students. Now, having returned home, he places a briefcase on a table, then takes a bag of groceries over to a fridge. He runs a bath and is soon lying in it, staring down at his feet, which have red-painted toenails. He leans his head back against the rim of the bath, and stares up at the ceiling. Presently, sitting down on his bed, Simon sees something on his bedside table. He picks it up. It's an expensive fountain pen.
But who hath seen her wave her hand? Or at the casement seen her stand? Or is she known in all the land, the Lady of Shalott?
Simon's students seem disinterested, and he turns to look out of the classroom window. It's night time, and Simon's wearing glasses and sipping from a mug as he sits in an armchair at home, marking essays. He glances at his watch. He then gets up, takes his glasses off, and goes to look out of a window. Drawing the curtains back, he sees Tony standing outside. Simon looks flustered. He speaks into the intercom.
Hello?
Hello, is that Tracy?
Speaking.
It's me, Tony. I was here last week.
Oh, well, I never dreamt it would be us, sweetheart.
You what?
You come back for your pen.
What pen?
What are you doing here?
I've come to see you.
Right, Oh, I'm just in the middle of something right now.
All right.
But wait. Could you come back in an hour?
Yes, sound.
Yeah? All right. Okay, sweetheart. I'll see you then. Shit.
Simon starts hurriedly taking his shirt off. Now Tony's sitting nervously on the edge of the sofa as Tracy comes over to him, carrying two glasses of wine.
Been drinking?
One or two.
Chin-chin.
Cheers.
Perching on one end of the sofa, she's wearing a blonde wig and a short dress.
Am I okay to smoke?
Fire away.
He looks around the living room.
What do you do for a living?
Nothing, doll. Tracy's a good sign girl.
How does she pay for this place?
She doesn't.
Who does?
Simon.
Simon?
Yes, darling, Simon, the most boring man on the planet. Simon, who couldn't get a wank in a brothel.
What does he do?
Teaches English.
Does he like it?
He hates it. He's currently teaching romantic poetry, otherwise known as Dedumshite. Oh, the mind has mountains, cliffs of fall, frightful sheer no man travelled. Hold them cheap, who ne'er hung there. Nor does long our durance deal with that steep, deep. Here, creep. That's a poem. That's what he longs to teach, but now it's de-dum, de-dum, de-fucking dum. Should we go to bed, sweetheart?
Yeah?
Come on, then. Come on.
Later, Tracy's lying in bed smoking as Tony ties his shoelaces.
Someone's in a hurry. Glad to see you again.
Might do.
Well, do me a favour, darling. Next time, book by appointment. You turn up unannounced, you'll only be disappointed by what you find. Know what I mean?
She writes down her phone number.
I once asked for yours. Married men don't give them out.
What makes you think I'm married?
A lifetime's experience, lover. Got married too early. Couldn't go against the grain. Had to demonstrate your heterosexuality. And now you find yourself in a loveless marriage. Life passing you by. That nagging voice at the back of your mind asking, oh, is this all there is? I'll never leave her. So you snatch at chances like this. Oh, yeah, chance to explore. No harm in that. As long as nobody finds out, of course. Well, Tony, my love, your secret's safe with me.
Your wife's dead.
Tracy's face falls.
I'm sorry.
She looks uncomfortable.
Did you have any kids?
Tony shakes his head.
Did you love her?
He takes the phone number and gets up.
I'll see myself off.
Tracy watches as he leaves. In the classroom.
Willows whiten, aspens quiver. Little breezes dusk and shiver through the wave that runs forever. By the island in the river, flowing down to Camelot, four grey walls and four grey towers overlook a space of flowers. And the silent isle embowers the Lady of Shalott. By the margin, willow veiled, slide the heavy barges trailed by slow horses and unhailed. The shallop flitteth silken sailed, skimming down to Camelot. A bow shot from her bower eaves, he rode between the barley sheaves. The sun came dazzling through the leaves and flamed upon the brazen greaves of bold Sir Lancelot. Could you
be? Tracy grins when she opens her door to a smiling Tony, who's holding a bottle of malt whiskey. From Tracy applying her makeup, adjusting her wig and pulling on her high heels, to her opening the door to Tony again. He has another bottle, and this time she doesn't look quite as pleased. The next two times she answers the door to him, he's clearly drunk. On the final occasion, he falls to the floor, holding a tin of lager and a carton of chips. Simon climbs the stairs to his flat, then stands in his kitchen, lost in thought. Every single thing you do is magic. Now Tracy's ready and sitting on the edge of her bed in her candlelit bedroom. She's wearing the usual short dress with a fur stole around her shoulders and elbow-length black gloves. She gets up and goes to look out of the window. Tony's just got out of a cab outside, and he presses Tracy's intercom button.
Dirty Secrets Limited, how can I help you?
It's me.
What do you want?
What?
I said, what do you want?
We've got a date.
We had a date, you missed it.
I had a pint with the lads.
A pint?
A couple.
What you got in the bag?
Brandy.
Piss off.
What?
I said piss off.
Why?
Why? Because I'm sick of you taking me for granted. I'm sick of being your dirty little secret. And I'm sick of you having to be as pissed as a fart every time you come near me.
Yeah, but apart from that, I mean...
Oh, piss off.
I'm gonna come back tomorrow.
You can do, I won't be here.
Are you going somewhere nice?
No, there's a club in town for girls like me. I'd invite you, but I know you'd never have the balls to be seen out with me.
She waits for him to say something.
Ciao, darling.
Tony's about to walk away when another resident approaches the flat. They open the door, and Tony uses the opportunity to nip inside. Tracy puts the security chain on the door before opening it. Tony speaks to her through the narrow gap.
I haven't got the balls to be seen out with you, but should I tell you why?
Nothing like a bit of Dutch courage, is there?
It's because you make no bleeding effort to look like a woman.
A real woman.
I never claimed to be Cheryl bloody Cole.
No, I never expected you to turn into Cheryl Cole. But you're going to have to do a lot better than old King fucking Cole if you want to be seen out in public with me. Someone's just have a go. Hey?
What? And you'll take me out?
It's a long time I'm dead.
She left the web. She left the loom. She walked three paces through the room. She saw the water lilies bloom. She saw the helmets and the plume of bold Sir Lancelot. Out flew the web and floated wide. The mirror cracked from side to side. The curse has come upon me, cried the Lady of Shalott.
Simon's doing some shopping in an upmarket arcade. He stops to look in a boutique window before walking on. Looking through a shoe shop window, a pair of strappy gold high heels catches his eye. It's dusk, and Simon's sitting on the top deck of a bus as it travels through the shopping district of the city. He's wearing a slight smile as he stares out of the window, holding his bags of shopping. Now at home, Simon has become Tracy. She's wearing the gold shoes and is dressed rather more elegantly than usual. She sits waiting for Tony. Sometime later, she's still waiting, and she puts a cigarette out in an ashtray. She goes to a window and peers out at a cab that's just driving away. She opens the door to a smartly dressed older man.
Hello, Tracy.
What do you want?
Did I leave my pen behind?
No.
You look nice.
Fuck off.
She slams the door in his face. She paces across the room for a moment. Then, coming to a decision, she picks up the telephone and dials.
Hi, Andrew.
Your watch head swivel, Tracy. Because you are absolutely gorgeous, right?
Right. Tony who?
Tracy stands looking across a nightclub's busy dance floor. She flicks her hair back, looking comfortable and confident. Now she's dancing amongst a throng of other transvestites as her friend, Andrew, a dark-haired man in his 30s, watches smilingly from a nearby table. From Tracy smiling on the dance floor to her and Andrew getting out of a cab and walking towards Tracy's flat, Tony runs up to them.
Hey! Hey! What do you think he's doing?
What are you playing at?
Leave it, Tony!
What are you playing at?
Tony!
I'm just
hey,
a mate!
Tony, leave
hey,
him
what
alone!
What do you think you're playing
leave
at?
Him, leave
There's
him!
There's nothing going
hey,
on!
Just leave him, you prick!
Inside the flat.
What do you mean you don't believe me? Like turning news on? Major accident on the M62. 5 mile tailbacks.
So why not phone?
Me phone was dead. Look, I'm sorry. And I'm sorry about before as well. When I saw you with him, I just lost it. I'm sorry.
Tracy continues to look cross.
You're not good. You get nothing here tonight, darling. Glass of wine and that's it.
I'm just saying you're not good, that's all.
Thank you.
I'll make it up to you. A weekend away somewhere. Just the two of us. Where'd you fancy?
The Lake District.
All right. As soon as I can, I'll sort it. Promise.
Fancy a quick one before you go?
Thanks.
Don't mean that kind of quick one, darling.
The barristers are chatting amongst themselves when the judge enters the court.
All rise.
From Simon and the jurors standing to Simon walking through the city centre in daytime, He stops in his tracks when he spots Tony up ahead, walking in his direction. Simon freezes, but Tony only casually glances at him. Obviously failing to recognize him, he walks right past Simon. For a long time, Simon watches him walking off into the distance. Later, in a large shopping arcade, Tony reaches the top of an escalator and strolls off. Coming up on the escalator behind him is Simon, carrying a plastic shopping bag. Clearly following Tony, Simon gets off the escalator and loiters for a moment, watching Tony go into a beauty salon. He sees Tony meeting a young woman inside. She's wearing the white uniform of a beautician, and as he stands talking to her, she puts on her coat. Simon walks closer to the salon. Tony kisses the young woman, and they leave the shop together. Simon's wearing a somber expression. He continues to watch as Tony and the woman stop outside the salon and share an intimate kiss, looking every inch the happy couple. They walk off arm in arm, while Simon, looking devastated, holds a hand to his mouth. Simon turns to watch Tony and his girlfriend making their way towards the escalators. Another occasion. Striding into the beauty salon, Tracy approaches Tony's girlfriend, who's just seeing off a customer.
Bye-bye.
I know.
Hello, darling. I've got an appointment with Karen.
Oh, right.
That's a problem, is it?
No, not at all. I'm Karen. what name is it?
Tremarco, Tracy. And I'd like to look like Cheryl Cole, please.
I'll take that if you'd like to take
you.
A seat. Do you use concealer?
Not as a rule, no.
Oh, you really should. It acts as an undercut for your foundation. Helps cover all those tiny blemishes and imperfections. It's also really useful for disguising dark beard tones.
Karen seems a little conscious of the other people in the salon.
You're very brave.
Why are you that bad?
No. I mean, we get a lot of celebs here. I've never seen them get this kind of attention. Don't you mind everyone staring?
I'd be offended if they didn't, though.
Now, when it comes to foundation, I always go with a shade that's closest to your own skin tone. This one's from our liquid range. It gives a really even cover and a natural finish.
Tracy stares at Karen.
Is everything okay?
Sorry, I was just admiring your lipstick.
Oh, right. Oh, it's new. We only got it in last week.
She glances down at Karen's breasts.
You worked here long?
Nearly 3 years now.
Do you enjoy it?
Yeah. This is my favourite part of the job. I trained as a makeup artist originally. I do a lot of weddings and that.
Oh, I bet that's in mine.
You've got fabulous cheekbones. So we really want to accentuate those.
Have you been married long?
12 years in August. It's flown.
What does he do?
He fits aerials and satellite dishes.
Got any kids?
Not yet, no.
But you'd like some.
Could you just close your eyes for me?
Yeah.
So do you dress like this full time?
No, it's not always practical.
You been doing it long?
Yeah. I repressed it a long time. But Trish is not the sort of girl that takes no for an answer.
Oh, could you just look up for me?
Yeah. Too many people waste their lives in denial. Always pleasing other people, never themselves.
Yeah.
And you're a long time dead.
Oh. That's Tony's catchphrase.
Tony?
My husband. Oh. He's always saying it. Usually when I'm nagging him about staying out late with his mates. Long time dead. So come on. Is there anyone special in your life?
Well, there is someone, actually.
A bloke?
Do I look like a dyke?
Sorry. Didn't want to assume that's all.
It's been about 3 months now.
Ooh. In serious, then?
Well, I'm not sure about that. I found out he was married.
Oh, you not mentioned it before?
No, I did suspect it at the beginning, but he told me she was dead.
So what are you going to do?
I don't know. I haven't decided yet. I don't know what to do.
Suits you.
Thank you.
Well, look on the bright side. She can't be as gorgeous as you.
To Tony.
You won't believe what happened to me today.
What?
I had a bloke come in for a makeover. Transvestite.
Transvestite?
Yeah. Called himself Tracy. Said he wanted to look like Cheryl Cole. I think I managed Myra Hindley.
Tony's pressing the intercom buzzer at Tracy's flat. Tracy's sitting on the edge of her bed, steadfastly ignoring it. Tony steps away from the door and looks up at Tracy's window. Seeing a light on, he goes back to pressing the buzzer. Tracy goes to the window and looks out at Tony, who's gone back to his car and unlocked the door. Just before getting in, he glances back up at the flat, and Tracy steps back from the glass. Tony drives away, and Tracy sits down at her dresser to look at herself in the mirror. A brief glimpse of Simon looking at himself in the mirror. From Tracy at the dresser, looking at her red-painted fingernails, to Simon lying in the bath, gazing down at his red-painted toenails. More glimpses of Simon, looking closely at his own reflection, then similar moments of Tracy doing the same thing. Tracy removes her wig. Simon thinks back to the moment Tony walked past him in the street, oblivious to who he was. In front of the dresser mirror, Tracy removes her makeup.
Hello, your call cannot be taken at the moment, so please leave your message after the tone.
It's me. Right, if you didn't pick up, I need to see you. Look, you might as well answer, because I'm not going to stop ringing until you do. Okay, I need to see you. Oh, come on. Just answer the phone, will you? I'm just going to keep ringing. I've got to see you. Please, come on, Stacey, just pick the phone up, will you?
Simon picks the phone up. It's daytime, and Tony enters a spacious bar. There's only one other person in the place, a man standing at the jukebox, his back to him. Tony approaches the bar.
What can I get you, mate?
Brandy, please.
Simon wanders over from the jukebox.
You used to think it was my memory.
What?
This song, I thought it was my memory for years, and then I saw this... saw somebody singing it at karaoke, and I realised it was my man and me.
Cheers, mate.
Made a lot more sense, you know. It's funny how songs get you like that, isn't it? But just... Because to show it's a tune that gets you.
I'm straight, mate.
Really?
I'm just waiting for someone. She mightn't turn up, but if that happens, I'm just going to get off on my own. Okay?
Yeah, okay.
Just wouldn't want you to waste your time or energy. You know what I'm saying?
Oh, yeah, I do. All right. I appreciate it.
No problem.
Can't blame the bloke for trying, though, can you?
after all. Long time dead.
It's you, isn't it?
Don't apologise. No need. I'm used to knockbacks when I'm Simon.
I don't intend to apologise. You saw Karen. I know you saw it. So how? How did you find it?
You passed me in the road. I was Simon, thus invisible. And you led me to her. Why did you tell me she was dead?
Because you were being a smart ass. Read me like a book, treat me like a mug. You condescending prick.
She's beautiful.
Yeah, I know she's beautiful. Right? There's nothing I wouldn't do to stop her from getting hurt. So just stay away from her, right?
Well, what do you think I'm going
to
do?
I know what you was up to. Sitting in that chair, inches away from my wife, nose against the tits, getting off on it, you dirty faggot. You don't play games with my wife. Right? You don't play games with my life. You go near her again, and I'll kill you.
Right.
I'll kill you. I swear, I will kill you if you do.
Right.
Yeah? See, I come from the real world, you see, you little prick. And in the real world, there's no trannies, just pervs. There's no gays, just queers.
You know something?
End of.
Never ceases to amaze
End
me.
End of.
Never ceases to amaze me. The lengths men go to suppress the truth about themselves. Well, I'm glad you've finally shown your true colours, you spineless little prick. Because Tracy were convincing herself you weren't like all the others. All right, fair enough, she's had a fair share of married men. But you were different, weren't you? You came back. Not just once, but time and time again. The poor deluded cow. She'd started to convince herself you two had something special. You'd think she'd learned a lesson by now, wouldn't you? Because the one thing she should know is men like you never leave their wives to women like her.
No, they don't, and he never will. Right? Do you know what she said to me? My Karen, she said, he asked for a Cheryl Cole. I think a man is the man at Henley.
Tony storms off, leaving Simon looking crushed. Tony returns home.
You see my phone, love?
He looks in a drawer.
I did this morning. It's not in the car.
Karen's been chopping carrots in their kitchen. Looking upset, she picks up Tony's phone, which has been resting by the chopping board. He sees the look in her face when she turns towards him.
Who's Tracy?
I don't know.
Despite his words, guilt is written all over his face. It's nighttime, and Simon's walking the city streets, lost in thought. He remembers occasions when Tony was smiling at him. Later, Simon's sitting on a near-deserted bus, looking over to where a young couple are engrossed in each other's company. Now Simon's sitting at the table in his dimly lit kitchen.
Hello, your call cannot be taken at the moment, so please leave your message after the tone.
You're wrong, not spineless.
Simon picks up the phone.
What? I'm not spineless. No?
I told her. Everything.
Just a wind-up. Do I sound like I'm joking? Why?
Because she deserves better than me.
How did she take it?
She's over the moon.
Where is she now?
She's gone to her mum's for the night. I said I'd be gone by the time she gets back.
What?
I've got to go away in the morning. I want you to come with me.
Where?
I don't know. Anywhere.
I'm working in the morning.
Call me sick. Look, I'm not promising anything. Let's just go away for a few days. See what happens.
I don't believe I'm hearing this.
Well, you better. Because I'm coming for you at 9 in the morning. Love you.
As Tony's been talking, it's become clear that his clothes are stained with blood. He stands looking down at Karen. Her blood-soaked body is sitting on the kitchen floor, propped up against the cooker. Simon hangs up, looking shocked, but blissfully happy. He packs a bag and is soon sitting in the bath, shaving the hair from his arms. The bathwater runs down the plug hole, carrying with it all the shavings. Simon smiles at himself in a mirror as he moisturizes the skin on his arms and shoulders. Later, he uses a hairdryer to dry his blonde wig. He applies makeup, then adorns the wig and stands gazing at his reflection. Tony's driving in the grey morning light. Pulling up outside Tracy's flat, he sits there for a moment. He rubs his face, composing himself, then gives a blast on the horn. Seeing Tracy emerging from her flat wearing a red dress and carrying a suitcase, Tony smiles and gets out.
Are you coming like that?
Yeah, why?
Well, I'm not sure. Thanks
very much for that.
No, look, I'm sorry.
Very much indeed.
No, I'm sorry, I'm just... You look wonderful.
Oh, thanks.
No, wait there.
Having put Tracy's suitcase in the car, Tony hurries round to the passenger side to open the door for her.
Thank you. Are you sure you're all right to drive, darling? You look wiped out.
Yeah, I'll be fine.
She leans over and kisses him. A barrister.
On the day before the murder, Tony Baines made repeated attempts to phone you, yes?
Yes.
What did he say?
He wanted to meet up.
Why?
To talk.
To plan?
No, to talk.
Did you talk about his wife?
Yes.
You meet, you discuss his wife, he goes home and then murders her, yes?
Yes.
And then immediately phones you again?
Yes.
From the faces of the jury to Tony's car driving along a motorway.
Someone's popular.
Tracy picks up Tony's mobile.
Alan. Is that Alan the Neanderthal?
Yeah.
The journey continues, with Tony wearing a somber expression. Tracy staring out of the window at a passing train. Presently, they're passing through a town, and Tracy picks up Tony's phone again.
Maureen.
Karen's mum.
The car's now travelling through scenic, hilly countryside that's dusted with snow. Tracy smiles as she looks out at the passing landscape. Next, parked up in the grounds of a roadside cafe, Tracy's eating. Tony's trying to.
You're not hungry? When was the last time you ate?
Lunchtime yesterday.
And didn't you have any dinner?
She cooked it for me, but I didn't eat it.
I think you've been very brave. Some people say things like, oh, I didn't have the heart to do it, whatever it is, whatever bad news it is. And what they should be saying is, I lack the emotional courage to do it, but not you. And it was even harder for you, because you've got physical courage. And used to protecting people and shielding them from pain. And suddenly, you've got to tell a woman you love something that will crucify her. The temptation to deny yourself, to go on sacrificing your own happiness, to go on living a lie, must have been overwhelming. But you didn't succumb. You did it. I'm so proud of you for that, my darling. I'm so proud of you.
Tony's almost in bed.
Young Simon used to lie in bed at night, praying not to wake up, to cease upon the midnight with no pain. But he kept waking up. He realised he had to tell his parents he was gay or kill himself. So he decided having a dead son was slightly worse than having a gay one. And that's what he told them. So even when he came out, he did it for other people.
Unable to take any more, Tony clambers out of the car. Later, he and Tracy drive out of the cafe's car park, passing in front of a security camera on the wall of the cafe as they do so. The drive continues, the car travelling along a narrow country road that's bordered by a thin band of snow on both sides. Soon, it's pulling to a stop at the edge of a wide lake that's surrounded by tree-covered hills. Sitting in the car, Tony and Tracy look out across the water.
He's the Comey and his kids.
There's a couple of rowing boats moored at a nearby wooden jetty.
Do you love me? What would you do for me?
Anything.
You know, living a lie isn't spineless.
Simon said that, dear, not me.
It takes guts, endurance. I love my wife. I lost her after you, yeah, but I love Karen. How do you tell someone you love that the last 12 years have been a lie? 12 years? I couldn't do it. Would have broke her heart. Better a broken skull than a broken heart. And that's not cowardice, that. That's not lacking emotional courage. That's just being human.
What's he saying?
I killed her. I killed her because I couldn't eat her. I'm going to have to weigh her down. I can't do that. I can't do it on my own. I can't move the body out of the boat and I'll end up sinking the boat and I can't swim. So you're going to have to help me.
You've got to call the police.
No, I can't. Listen. Let's just do this together. And then we'll live together. Then we'll go away anywhere you like. Any country you like. Just me and you.
Tracy looks back to the rear of the car.
She's in the boat. Put her in the boat.
Getting out, Tracy goes to the boot and opens it. She recoils when she sees what's inside.
Your fingerprints are on the murder weapon.
Yes.
Can you explain that?
It was in the boot on top of the body. I picked it up to defend myself.
And if I don't help you? What happens if I don't help you? Would you kill me as well?
She throws the knife away. Tony, who's now standing by the boot, has a hollow, numb look on his face. Later, Tracy slips and falls as she tries to outrun Tony, who's pursuing her across hilly terrain. The chase continues along a narrow country road. Tracy briefly looks back at Tony, then staggers on, stripping her wig off and casting it aside, along with the Tracy persona. Eventually, looking exhausted, Simon can run no more. Stumbling towards a grassy picnic spot, he falls to the ground. Tony catches up. He's worn out too, but still has the strength to pick up a rock. Breathing heavily, Simon can only watch, terrified, as Tony looms towards him, his face a picture of torment. Tony raises the rock, about to bring it crashing down on Simon's head. But he can't bring himself to do it, and he falls to the ground, sobbing. As Tony sits with his hands covering his face, Simon, completely spent, hangs his head beside him. Back at the car, one of Tracy's shoes is lying on the ground near the open boot. Karen's body, wrapped in plastic, is visible inside. A police car approaches on a lakeside road, and it pulls up just behind the car.
Why had he put the body into the boot of the car?
To get rid of it.
You were helping him to dispose of it?
No.
Why the middle of nowhere if not to dispose of the body?
I thought he wanted sex.
I'm sorry.
I said I thought he wanted sex.
With a man dressed as a woman?
Yes.
In the car?
Yes.
With his wife lying dead only inches away?
Listen, I have often had sex dressed as a woman. I get more dressed as a woman than I ever do dressed as a man. But I have never knowingly slept with a man while his wife lay dead just inches from me. I did not know she was there.
Have you asked Tony Baines to give evidence on your behalf?
Yes.
Is he going to?
No.
He was with you the whole time. He's confessed to the murder of his wife, so he's absolutely nothing to lose. If you're telling the truth, he would vouch for what you say, yes?
Yes.
Simon's in the holding cell with his defence barrister.
How do you think it's going?
You can never tell.
You think they'll find me guilty?
I don't think any such thing. I'll see you tomorrow.
Look, could you ask the judge a question for me, please?
There's a stir throughout the courtroom as Tracy enters, wearing her blonde wig and a scarlet dress. She makes her way to the witness box and enters it.
For the avoidance of doubt, this is the accused. What shall I call you?
Tracy Tremarco, Your Honour.
Very well, Miss Tremarco. Go ahead.
Thank you. Tony's confessed to murder, the prosecution says. And he's getting life anyway. So he's nothing to lose, so why not confirm my story? He's got everything to lose. Prison when you've murdered your wife, that's hard. Prison when you've murdered your wife to sleep with a girl like me, that's not hard, that's hell. Life in prison for a nonce, that's what they'll call him. Life for a nonce is absolute hell, and that's why he's keeping his mouth shut. This is how I was dressed when I was arrested. And it caused a bit of a stir right now when I just walked in. Happens all the time. Now, I don't know about you, but if I'm getting into a car with a body in it, the last thing I want to do is draw attention to myself. I doubt I'd dress like this. These are the nails I had on. French, natural ivory. Cost a fortune. Now, you do not wear these to drag a body from a car, put it in a boat, and then dump it in the middle of a lake. Similarly, these are the shoes I had on. Italian court, saddle stitched, 7.5 centimetre heel. How do I dispose of a body in these when I can just about walk through the court in them? I'm innocent, members of the jury. Totally innocent.
He's Simon again, and he's back sitting in the dock.
All rise.
The judge returns to the courtroom. He takes his seat, and everyone else present follows suit.
Members of the jury, are you agreed upon a verdict?
We are.
Do you find the defendant guilty or not guilty of murder?
Not guilty.
Simon smiles with relief.
All right, settle down, please.
And is that the verdict of you all?
It is.
A guard unlocks a gate. Simon walks through it, and the gate's locked behind him again. He turns, and through the bars, he sees Tony being escorted along the corridor beyond. The two guards he's with lead him, handcuffed, to a cell, and one of them unlocks the door. As he's waiting to enter the cell, Tony turns his head and spots Simon. With a forlorn expression, he holds Simon's gaze, and Simon responds with a sympathetic nod. Then Tony steps into the cell. Simon bows his head and gives a heavy sigh before turning around and walking off along the corridor. He strides towards a brightly lit window at the far end. Now Simon's at home, staring out of his bedroom window. Walking over to the bed, he sits down and looks at a framed photo of a smiling Tracy on the dresser. He starts to take his shirt off and is soon sitting at the dresser, applying makeup and bright red false nails. Dressed up to the nines, Tracy walks from her flat to a waiting taxi.
City centre, please, darling.
There she weaves by night and day, a magic web with colours gay. She has heard a whisper say, a curse is on her if she stay, to look down to Camelot. Lancelot said, her case is won. Knickers down, let's have some fun. And then the dirty bastard gave her one. The Lady of Shalott.